This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. What a difference a button can make.
I was like, wow, I finally like feel seen. I feel comfortable. This is something that's happening on campus where I can actually go somewhere, not like be scared of who I actually am.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Voting is already underway in West Virginia. Keelan Bailey reports on absentee ballots sent in throughout the state.
The Secretary of State's office has logged 7,511 votes already cast via absentee ballot in West Virginia's November general election. These ballots compose about half of the absentee ballots already requested in the state. Registered voters may request an absentee ballot through October 30th. The Secretary of State's office released their first weekly update on absentee ballot returns today. Two county clerks in Pleasants and Mineral counties have not yet logged any returned ballots. Absentee ballots must be returned to your local county clerk in person by November 4th or postmarked by November 5th. Visit govotewv.com for more information on how to vote. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Keelan Bailey.
During the special session, the legislature granted over $16 million in state and federal funds to domestic violence prevention groups. But Jack Walker reports that concerns remain.
The federal dollars come from the Victims of Crime Act, or VOCA. It funds victim support services around the country. VOCA funding was reduced in 2019 under the Trump administration. The state has provided additional dollars to offset a loss in funding. But Katie Spriggs, executive director of the nonprofit Eastern Panhandle Empowerment Center, said advocates want security. That means a long-term increase in state budget allocations.
So this is just really, really important because it doesn't make anyone lose money. There isn't anyone gaining anything still.
Changes to the state budget would have to come in next year's legislative session or a special session called before then. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
West Virginia Health Ride is hosting its We Care West Virginia Day in Charleston on Saturday. As Maria Young reports, the free clinic offers a wide variety of medical services for anyone who needs them.
Thousands of workers in West Virginia make too much money to qualify for a free medical treatment through Medicaid, but struggle to pay for the health care they do need. HealthRight serves more than 45,000 of them from 34 counties in the southern and central part of the state. Saturday's free clinic at the East End location is designed to reach those who can't come in during regular working hours. Angie Settle is HealthRight's CEO.
There are a lot of people that have insurance plans with high deductibles and co-pays and basically catastrophic care. So we want to make sure that those routine things and preventive care things are covered.
Free services include general checkups, dental screenings, eye exams, flu vaccines, as well as behavioral health and a host of other options. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Maria Young in Charleston.
The only organization currently pursuing approval for a charter school in the state held a public forum last week. Chris Schultz reports on what could be the newest charter school in West Virginia.
Last year, the Wisdom Academy submitted an application to the Professional Charter School Board to become West Virginia's latest charter school. However, that application was rejected. Javid Syed is the board chair for Wisdom Academy. He says a lack of financing was the main reason for the rejection.
What you want is you want commitments. So this year we have gotten commitments over $900,000 from our community, and we have submitted that as well. Plus, we have made major changes in our application.
Now, the Wisdom Academy is applying again. If approved, the school would become the second physical charter school in Morgantown and the fifth in the state. At a public forum this past Thursday, Syed and other board members laid out the case for the charter school. Their pitch amounts to taking advantage of a charter school's curricular flexibility to address a cultural need in the Morgantown community.
There's a community here, a pretty large community, and they feel like that the kind of needs that they have, the current schools are not meeting any of those needs. Plus, the children are being sort of mishandled.
Muslim students at Morgantown High School were recently granted a space to conduct group prayers on Friday after a year of discussion with school and county administration. Both last year and again at this year's public forum, attendants specifically asked about the school teaching Arabic as a foreign language. Sayed says the school will be free to choose any language to teach that the community may like. Abdul Bois is a Morgantown business owner. Despite not having children of his own, he says his friends need a different way of educating their kids that better fits their culture.
For example, my people, they came from Arabic countries. In the future, they cannot speak Arabic because this is one of the problems. So they need some place that can, after school, they can also learn Arabic.
Weiss, who is originally from Yemen, also says a growing Spanish-speaking community in Morgantown would benefit from the flexibility a charter school can offer. In his presentation, Sayed highlighted extensive after-school extracurriculars as part of the school's plan for student development. The Wisdom Academy is currently the only active charter school application in the state. At its recent board meeting, the Professional Charter School Board announced a new partnership with consultant Ampersand Education to produce marketing materials and campaigns to attract charter school applicants. James Paul is the executive director of the West Virginia Professional Charter School Board. He says he has worked with the Wisdom Academy Board to improve portions of their application.
Our role as an authorizer is not to be a distant, faraway body that just says yes or no. I want to work with applicants and help them develop their application in a way that's going to produce a school that's most likely to succeed and most likely to fill needs in communities in West Virginia.
Paul says people like Weiss, along with a survey of local families presented as part of the application, are a good indicator that the school is wanted.
Another indicator of demand for this school is the amount of individuals who have come out now 2 years in a row to hear about the plans for Wisdom Academy in a public forum.
Paul says the board will give a decision on the application by the end of November. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Mostly cloudy skies today in the north with a slight chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny today. Highs in the 40s and 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy. A slight chance of rain or snow in the north and southeast. Lows in the 30s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with highs in the 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by CRW Airport, now providing flights on Breeze Airways to New York City starting in November. Online booking, flycrw.com. West Virginia University's outgoing president delivered one of his final addresses Monday. Chris Schultz has more.
I have come to address the state of the West Virginia University for a final time.
West Virginia University President E. Gordon Gee gave his last State of the University address to the university's faculty assembly Monday. Gee's contract ends June 30, 2025, after 11 years in the position. He previously served as WVU's president in the 1980s. Gee said the end of his second tenure had him reflecting more about the future of WVU than its past.
My purpose has been to make things better for West Virginia and to build a university with the strength and power to succeed long after I am gone. So this is just the beginning, and we will continue to grow and prosper as we create endless possibilities for our students and the citizens of West Virginia.
WVU is actively engaged in a national search for Gee's replacement. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
Many consider college a time of self-discovery. For LGBTQ students, that means coming to terms with their gender or sexual orientation. Some undergrads at Shepherd University say a school's culture determines whether they feel comfortable exploring their identity. As Jack Walker reports, that's why they want to visibly represent the LGBTQ experience on campus.
At lunch hour, the Rams Den gets pretty packed. It's Shepherd University's main dining hall, and students stop by to grab a meal or just hang out. But on Friday, foot traffic extended beyond the food counter lines. Students gathered near the wall at a table commemorating National Coming Out Day. Each year, October 11 celebrates people making the decision to self-identify as members of the LGBTQ community. At Shepherd, student activity staff use the day to hand out free LGBTQ pride buttons and pins. It's the same table that current senior Jackson Heath saw in his first few months on campus.
And it was just like a really nice thing where I was like, wow, I finally like feel seen, I feel comfortable. This is something that's happening on campus where I can actually go somewhere, not like be scared of who I actually am.
Some students say identifying as LGBTQ in West Virginia can be tough because not everyone is welcoming of their identity. But Heath said seeing pride buttons on backpacks around campus can remind LGBTQ students that they're not alone when they first arrive at college.
I'm just hoping that this event overall is just something that, you know, anyone in the community who is kind of nervous right now is something that they can remember. Like this is a memorable event for them.
The button making booth is an annual tradition at Shepherd. Today, Heath leads it with the university's program board. But it's an activity practiced beyond the Eastern Panhandle, too. Many college students around the country make and display similar buttons. Some feature a flag for their specific identity under the LGBTQ umbrella. Others state the pronouns that a student uses. LGBTQ identity isn't something you can always identify visually. But junior Annika Wirt said these pins signal someone is an ally without a formal conversation.
Because sometimes it can be awkward to be like, oh, I am this thing. But in a way, it kind of like broadcasts your identity and like says that this is who I am and kind of can help other people see that recognition in, you know, the people around them.
To make a button, students first cut out a circular piece of paper. They place it between a plastic cover and a metal backing and then insert it beneath a metal button press. As they press down, the plastic seals over their design, forming it into one. They come away with a button of their own. Events like these, centered around the LGBTQ community, can bring together students with similar experiences. But by giving students a symbol to take with them, sophomore Joanna Schoonover says that sense of community can extend beyond any one event, like the one she helped host Friday.
And I've seen students have buttons on their bags with them all year round. So far, I think we've had a pretty good turnout. We've only been here for like an hour and a half or so, but it's still like pretty great attendance.
Buttons at Shepherd also come with an Appalachian flair. Some show the outline of West Virginia and slogans like y'all means all are welcome here, or no hate in my holler. Others feature woodland creatures in front of pride flags. One shows a deer with the text, "Oh dear, I'm queer." Another shows a possum in a pink cowboy hat. Senior Ruby Anderson says it's partly just fun, but it also shows that for some, LGBTQ and West Virginian identities are inseparable.
It's really nice to like walk around and see that other people have queer identities, and automatically you know if someone has a pin that's like a rainbow or like two rats kissing, you know they're going to be more open to that kind of identity and they're not going to be like outwardly homophobic.
Anderson also says it's simply a way to show that she's proud of her identity and her community.
I just love gay people and I love being bi and out on campus, so.
And with a new West Virginia themed pride pin on her backpack, that's a message Anderson can communicate across campus too. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Keelan Bailey, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.